Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Gospel Express radio broadcast, coming to you from beautiful Spanish Wells in the Bahama Islands. I am your host, Luton Neely, inviting you to stay tuned to today's broadcast, as the next 30 minutes could be the most spiritually rewarding of your entire life.
Thank you so very much for tuning in to the broadcast today. We trust that it'll be a very pleasant ride as you come through this program with us today. We trust that your heart will be encouraged and blessed. On today's broadcast, as our special guest, for the next four broadcasts, we'll be featuring a young man who now lives in the United States of America, but was born in Bonnie, Scotland, and he will be preaching to us, singing to us, and blessing our hearts as I have him as my guest on special feature. We trust you'll sit back, relax, and enjoy this wonderful program. Right now, here's Rod Chop to bless your heart with song.
Thank the Lord for all the flowers. I thank the Lord for all the trees. But Lord, most of all, I'm thankful that your grace included me. It's hard to see how you could love me. And Lord, your love I cannot spurn. For a love as great as yours, Lord, is something I could never earn. Though my faith is very small, Lord, there is one thing I am sure, that until my life is over, your love will cause me to endure. I don't deserve all of your blessings that you shower down on me. Lord, I love you and I'm thankful. Yours I'll always want to be. Sometimes I think where I might be now if I were not close by your side. Lord, I'm thankful that you saved me. When I think of it, I cry. All that I am or ever will be, I owe to you for what you've done. Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy in making me your very son. Though my faith is very small, Lord, there is one thing I am sure, that until my life is over, your love will cause me to endure. I don't deserve all of your blessings that you shower down on me. Lord, I love you and I'm thankful. Yours I'll always want to be. Lord, I love you and I'm thankful. Yours I'll always want to be.
Welcome once again to another edition of Special Feature. Once again today, it is my privilege to have with me here in the studio on this special edition of the Gospel Express radio broadcast, Evangelist Rod Sharp. Rod, it's good to have you with us here today.
Thank you.
Rod is our special guest speaker during this month, and I'm sure that you are going to be blessed as you hear him speak from God's Word. We would like to talk to Rod just a little bit about his early life and the fact that he is an evangelist and has a family, and he comes from Scotland and things like that. And we would like to just probe his mind just a little bit today, a little information, and I'm sure something that will be an encouragement to you. Rod, let us start off. You were born in Scotland. And can you recall some of your early life for us, your home, your parents, your church, your school? Let's take it from there.
Well, as you say, I was born and raised in the bonnie land of Scotland. I lived there for the first 30 years of my life. And I was privileged to be raised in a Christian home. Both my parents were active Christians in our local church. And of course, from the very earliest, I was taught the ways of God and the Word of God, but it wasn't until I was 17 years of age that I came to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. Like just about any other young person, I guess, I was looking for life that really made sense and trying all the different things that might bring some kind of sense of happiness and fulfillment, and I discovered I was looking in the wrong direction. I discovered that the things that I had been taught since my earliest days were, in fact, the things that were the truth of God. And it wasn't until I surrendered to Jesus Christ as a teenager that I found the fulfillment that I was looking for. I'm thankful for Christian home, for Christian parents, and for their prayers and direction in those early years. But ultimately, it depends upon a personal decision that an individual makes with the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you were saved at the age of 17. That's interesting, being brought up in a Christian home and in a Christian local church, a Bible-believing church where the gospel was proclaimed, and it was not until you were 17. What happened after you became a Christian? I know from your background that you did attend a Bible school. Between the time of the Bible school and the time that you were saved, between the time you were saved and you're going to Bible school, Can you tell us about that and what prompted you to go to Bible school?
Yes, well, I was very privileged in that the Lord brought along my way a very fine young man who was a preacher and evangelist, very much on fire for the Lord, and I guess a little of that rubbed off, and I would spend some time with him, and we'd go out and do gospel work together, and visitation of homes, open-air work, children's work, youth work, you name it, we tried it. And it seemed a very natural step that as I got more and more involved in the work of the Lord, that I needed some kind of formal training. And the Lord directed me to go to a Bible college in the south of England, Moorlands Bible College. And I spent 3 years there. And then following that time, I went into full-time evangelistic work in Scotland and in the north of England, and traveled around those areas for about 7 years before coming over to the United States to live and to work.
You mentioned Moorlands Bible College, and I'm sure that that brings to your mind, as well as my mind, the principal, David Clifford. Can you tell me what influence or what impact did David, the man, David Clifford, the principal, the spiritual leader, what impact has he had on your life as you think back on those days and your life now?
I always remember David Clifford as a man who, although not being young even in those days, seemed to possess tremendous drive and a keen sense of urgency to reach people with the gospel. And although in later years he was perhaps better known as a Bible teacher, he undoubtedly had the heart of an evangelist. And I'm grateful for that. I don't see evangelism as being my primary gift, but I really believe that such men as David Clifford and others have instilled into me the need for evangelism in these days.
And David Clifford came to the Bahamas. And I guess that's where you and I met, because he invited you down here. And, friends, we've been talking with Rod Sharp, an evangelist and a Bible teacher who's visiting here in the Bahamas and has spent a lot of time working here in the Bahamas and who now resides in North Carolina. And next week, we trust that you'll tune in and we'll pick up where we've left off. In fact, we're coming to the Bahamas. Rod Sharp comes to the Bahamas. Some of you are hurting out there in Radio Land today. People need the Lord. How true this is. I needed the Lord one day in a very special and unique way. I recognized that I was a lost, guilty sinner, and I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ in my sin, and I found pardon and forgiveness. Let's look to Him and ask His blessing upon this service today. Unless God blesses this service, nothing will be meaningful that is done or said or heard here today. Father, we bless Thee for Jesus Christ, Thy Son. We thank Thee, our Father, that He was willing to come into a world of sin and die in our place and in our stead. And we pray, Father, that men and women everywhere will recognize that even today, He is the answer to all of their problems. We pray for the gospel that as it goes forth today will have force and have power. We pray for people to know forgiveness today through Jesus Christ. Bless the message today by Rod Sharp. And bless people everywhere, Father, through the gospel. May they turn to Him as they hear the word of God today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A good many years ago now, I had the privilege of visiting Northern Ireland. And part of my visit, I went to visit the famous Stormont Castle, where the Houses of Parliament have their offices. And one of the interesting features that I learned about that building was that it was built on huge blocks of stone, which had been carried some many miles from the famous mountains of Mourne. And I just concluded that when they built this building, that they builders had decided that they wanted it to be strong. Therefore, they started with a very strong foundation. And how important that is when we're building buildings. I remember hearing about a man who bought a new house, and he hadn't been in his house very long before he discovered that his doors weren't closing properly. He had some folks to come in and look at it, and they concluded that the man's house had been built on the site of an old rubbish dump. Oh, you say, that's not a very good place to start building. And of course it's not. When we're building buildings, how important it is that we start with the right foundation. But of course that reaches to other areas of life, because I think you'll agree with me that if building buildings requires a strong foundation, how much more so when we're building lives that we start with a strong foundation. The Apostle Paul one day said this, that there's only one foundation that you can lay. In fact, that foundation has been laid down long ago, and that foundation is faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus told a parable concerning foundations. I think you'll remember the story well, how there's a wise man and how there's a foolish man, and they built their house, one upon the rock and one upon the sand. And the Lord Jesus taught us that the man who built his house upon the rock was a wise man. He took the time and the effort and the trouble to make sure that his house was built on a solid foundation. But the other man he called a foolish man, and I wonder why he might have built his house upon the sand. Maybe he got a good deal, a cheap site, or perhaps he wanted beachfront property. Perhaps he liked fishing or sailing, and so he decided that he would build his house on this piece of property that he had. I think as we look at these two homes, as we look at the two structures, we would conclude that perhaps they might be very similar. Both of them built out of the very best of materials. Both of them built to an interesting and a good design. And yet there was some basic difference in them. And that was the foundation on which they were built. Somebody says, well, when we're building lives, why do we have to build on a strong foundation? I think for the very same reason that houses need to be built on a strong foundation, because of the storms. And as we read through the parable that the Lord Jesus spoke, we discover that those houses were tested from every angle. From above, the rain started to fall. From the sides, the wind began to blow. And from underneath, the floodwaters began to rise. And in the morning, only one of those houses was left standing. Yes, the one that was built on the solid foundation. Let me ask you, my friend, about your life. What or who are you building upon? There are many people in today's world that are building their lives upon the sinking sand of man's energies and man's good works. But let me tell you that there's only one solid foundation for life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, faith and trust in him. Let's discuss some of the storms that are likely to hit our lives. Here's one that I think that every one of us must face and do face frequently. It's the storm of temptation. That storm that would seek to drag us down so frequently. Now, what is temptation? I suppose temptation is a kind of magnetic attraction that draws us away from the right way in life into some area or some activity which is not honoring to God. Now, let me remind you that there's nothing wrong with temptation. Temptation will come to each one of us. We're told that in the Scriptures. Every man is tempted. But you know, the Lord Jesus was tempted, wasn't he? And I think you'd agree with me that he never sinned. And so we conclude that temptation in and of itself is not wrong. It's what we do with temptation. It's where temptation leads us that causes the problems in our lives. Someone has put it so nicely, I think, this way. You cannot prevent the birds from flying overhead, but you can prevent them from making a nest in your hair. And so when temptation comes along, we must know how to handle it. And I want to suggest to you this day that only when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior can we be strong when temptation comes along. See, temptation can have its effect upon our lives, which is a beneficial effect. It can strengthen us. It can make us better equipped to handle temptation when it comes another time. Now, I think as we grow up and go through life, we discover that temptations change. The same temptations that affected us when we were young and going through our teenage years are not necessarily the temptations that face us when we grow older. Maybe as I grow older, I would come to the conclusion that temptation doesn't get easier, temptation doesn't lessen, but as we grow older, it grows stronger. Perhaps temptations in different areas, but nevertheless, we're tempted throughout our life. And how we need an anchor to hang on to, someone who can help us when temptation comes our way. That one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Are you building your life upon him? But then also we have the storm of trouble. Trouble comes in all of our lives. I suppose there are two different kinds of troubles. There's the kind of trouble that happens not because we asked for it or not because we did anything, but simply because trouble came along. And then there's the kind of trouble that we get into because of our own foolishness, because of our own sinfulness. We have caused it. But I want to remind you of someone who cares, someone who understands. And no matter what the source or the origin of our trouble might be, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be with us and wants to help us when trouble comes along. I don't know what trouble you might be going through right now. It may be a family problem. It may be a sickness. It may be some financial reversal. And you find that you are completely inadequate of yourself to handle this trouble. Your resources are not sufficient for this trouble through which we're going. Let me ask you, have you handed this over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why, he knows all about trouble. He's gone through some of the deepest troubles that any individual will ever go through. And above all, he knew the trouble and the agony of being rejected by men and nailed to a cruel cross. And he's the one who's promised to help us in times of need. He's the one who can relate to our trouble because he's been through it all before. And as we trust him and as we allow him to minister to our needs in the time and in the hour of trouble, we can be sure that he'll be with us and that he will strengthen us. So there's the storm of temptation, there's the storm of trouble. But look at this third storm that I want us to think about for a moment today. It's the storm of death. Let me make a statement that I think perhaps you'll agree with. Anybody can live their life without Jesus Christ, but we need him to die. Yes, I think we can live our lives without him because we see around us hundreds and thousands of people who do, but we do not dare to die without him. For he is the only one that can make death a doorway. A doorway not into a lost eternity, but a doorway into eternal life. And I want to ask you today, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, so that when that storm of death hits your life, you can with confidence leave this life and go on out into eternity? See, for the Christian, death is not something which is fearful. We are taught from the 23rd Psalm that we go through the valley of the shadow of death. You needn't be afraid of a shadow. The Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the substance of death when he died on Calvary's cross. And for those of us who know him as Savior, for those of us who are trusting him, we do not go through the valley of death, but merely the shadow. And a shadow, my friend, cannot hurt you. So the question again, do you know him? Is he your foundation when the storms of life come over? The storm of temptation, the storm of trouble, the storm of death. He offers his salvation. He offers it to you this very day. Why not trust him? Receive him as your Savior, and you'll be well equipped to handle the storms of life. So, my friend, don't be a foolish man building on the sinking sand, but be a wise man building on the rock. And Jesus Christ is that rock. Trust him today and know his eternal salvation. And may God bless you.
Just before we conclude today's broadcast, let me talk to you for a few moments concerning your response to today's message. You have been confronted with the real issues of life, knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now you must make a choice. If you choose to receive Jesus Christ, you will have life eternal. If you choose to reject Jesus Christ, you choose death and darkness. I beg you to receive Jesus Christ. Invite him into your heart. Do it right now. You'll never regret it. Then would you write and share it with us? Our mailing address is The Gospel Express, Post Office Box 9, Spanish Wells, Bahamas. To our listeners in the Northern Bahamas, would you write to Post Office Box F2477, Freeport, Grand Bahama. And until next time, when we will be coming your way again with another unique broadcast, this is your host, Evangelist Luton Neely, speaking for the entire Gospel Express team, saying goodbye, and may his peace be yours.
The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and their darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word that was all he had to say. And the one who had died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. Oh, he seemed like just an ordinary man, with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. But the words he says are hard to understand. And yet he seems like just an ordinary man. the gentle healer, he left our town today. I just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks from town have followed him, they say, that the gentle healer is the truth, the life away.